Good afternoon and Lord's blessings to each one of us. This is afternoon and you know what happens afternoons after lunch and after chorus? Everyone gets drowsy, right? So I'll just give you a little warning here. I won't tell you what I'm going to do. But if we find people sleeping, you'll find out, okay? Okay. Could we all rise to our feet for prayer before we start? Our righteous Father in heaven, God, we're here before you this afternoon, pouring out our hearts with thanksgiving. Lord, you heard the singing. You've heard the preaching this morning already. I know, Lord, you're looking down with anticipation at this group of youth. God, you know them well. You know them better than they know themselves. And I would just ask in Jesus' name, O Father, that you would continue to be here among us. I ask, Lord, that you would draw all of us to yourself. We ask, God, that in this next hour here, as we open the Word of God, and we look at principles of stewardship and a responsibility with all that, I would just ask that you would plant firm convictions and resolves in our hearts to do what your word teaches us to do. Give us grace with all that, Lord. We really need you. I ask, Lord, that you would just give me thoughts and inspiration and help the students to understand, to be able to connect. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Principles of Stewardship. This is a bit of a different subject than we looked at yesterday. What I'd like to do this week is take various subjects and just look at them. This is the type of subject that seems like sometimes preachers are scared to talk about, is money, finances, those types of things. Because there's such a wide spectrum of thought on the matter. And yet as we look at Scripture, Scripture has some clear principles. Jesus gave teaching on the subject. Money is talked about a lot in Scripture. These days that we're living in a day of prosperity like we have never experienced in a lot of history. For many of us here, some of our ancestors come from overseas, Russia, Germany, different places where in days gone by there was prosperity as well. But we're living in America today. And in America, there is prosperity we're all very familiar with that. And I believe it's to the detriment of Christianity. So what I'd like to just look at is some of the principles that God puts out in His Word. For myself, growing up, my parents were very poor. We lived on a little farm. We had some animals. My dad worked out. His health was failing at the time. I remember the day when I was just a young tot, when we really didn't have much food in the house. And I remember hearing my parents exclaim, and they opened the door, and there's a bag of groceries sitting on the front doorstep. And there's people that knew our family quite well that knew that we really needed those groceries. I think for us here, there's probably very few of us here that are at that point of poverty today. We work. We work hard, don't we? In fact, I'd like to say that for many of you young men in the ages that you are and the money that you can make is very different than it was 30 years ago, even when I was a young man. When I got married, it's very different. And with all that, there's things that happen in the way that we view money, and the way that we handle money. And I like to just look at that some this morning or this afternoon here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to read in chapter 16. Jesus talks about a steward. In Luke chapter 16, we're going to read a couple verses in the beginning of the chapter, then drop on down further. I won't take time to read everything. But it says in verse 1, it says, "And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." He had wasted his master's goods. "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." Thou mayest be no longer steward. And then it goes on down through, says how the servant responded to that, and he gave away a lot of his master's goods. Drop down to verse 10, where it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" It raises the question this morning, or this afternoon, it raises the question, if we, you, we, us, me, if we have not come to the place where we handle God Almighty's goods in the way He wants us to, how is He going to entrust the true riches to us? That's a point that He's making here. I'd like to suggest that all the money, all the possessions that God or that we have been given to us. Right? They have been given to us. And if they've been given to us, all of a sudden we become responsible. And money does crazy stuff. I'll just be up front, right? Money does crazy stuff to people. I received a phone call some time ago. A church was having some fairly major struggles, and there was a brother in the fellowship that he lived in a very simple house, but he had a business and the business thrived. It did well. He did, you know, things were great. He was able to give a lot of money. His business was doing great, but he lived very frugally. One day he built a house, and he built this big house, and the people looked down. And they said, "He's lavishing it on himself." From that day forth, that brother had issues. All the brothers had issues with him in church. Okay? It wasn't the fact that he made a lot of money. It was the day he started lavishing it on himself. Many of us have heard stories of how siblings can get along really good until there's an inheritance. And once there's an inheritance and the money is divided out, all of a sudden, there's lots of squabbles. Why? Because money is involved. Money can do lots of crazy things. We like to look at that. I'd like for us to consider that you and I are stewards. We are stewards. I have a little business at home, and we have some employees. And I'm out and about a good bit, and I have a man, and he's the manager of my business. He gets to write out all the checks. He puts his signature. He puts his signature on his check, and it's my checking account, right? He has a credit card. He goes and he uses my credit card, and he does all kinds of stuff. And guess what happens at the end of each month? I get, you know, the credit card statement comes, and before it goes in and gets paid, guess where it comes? It comes onto my desk. And I go through that statement and I look through there. I look at every transaction, and I look at it, and it says restaurant. Right? Right? Okay, I want to know what happened, right? Okay? He has to give an account of his stewardship, right? It's not his money. He has boundaries that are put into place that are carefully watched over so he doesn't splurge and spend the money in a way that he shouldn't. And I like to suggest that in the same way, God has entrusted money, possessions into our care. And a lot of people view money and possessions as my very own, rather than viewing it as I'm only a steward. And this money that I have, all the possessions I have, God expects me to give an account. In fact, I will give an account. One day, all of us are going to give an account for the money that we have spent, for the possessions we have. We will give an account in the same way that I sit at my desk and I look at over that credit card a statement, and I go into my computer and I look at all the transactions, and I come down through there and I look where it all went, right? And I watch that balance. And if all of a sudden things aren't where they ought to be, I call them to account. In fact, here a couple of years ago, I had a man working for me. And we came to the end of the year, and we were having an appreciation for the employees. And I had one of my employees go to the Cabela's, right? Went to the Cabela's to get gift cards for the employees. So he went to the employee or to the Cabela's, and he got gift cards. And when he came back, I saw on the books, I saw there's a check made out to this employee for that amount that he purchased it from. And I sat there scratching my head because I knew he had a credit card, right? Why didn't he use the company credit card? But he used his own credit card, then paid himself, okay? So the dollar amounts were all there, right? Anyone have an idea why he would have used his own credit card? No, it was for the employees. He used a company credit card to buy stuff for the employees, but he was racking up points on his own credit card, right? Guess what I did? I said, why did you do that? Oh, he had this little story. And I said, well, I just want you to know that it's okay for this time. I'm not going to require anything of you. But next time, I expect that you use a company credit card to do that. I called him to account. All of us here will one day give an account to God Almighty for all the money we've spent, for all the possessions we have. We will give an account to God. Is there any of you, a young man who has a wallet on you with some money and a credit card, who would volunteer to give it to me? I will switch for right now. Okay, he's given me his wallet, right? All right, there's credit cards here, there's money here. Okay, now, what happens here, brother? If I would say, okay, you're going to need to For the next 6 months, you'll supply for everything, all my food. And you'll take care of all my expenses. And you'd agree to that, right? Okay, we make an agreement. So for the next 6 months, he's going to pay for my living expenses. Now, if he does that, guess what he's going to do for the next 6 months? Do you think he would be concerned about every dollar that was in here? And the credit card statement. And do you think he'd be concerned? He would be. Even though he's given me permission, if he would give me permission for the next 6 months to use this and buy food, I mean, he would be pretty concerned what kind of food I'd buy, right? Okay, and if I'm stopping at the Starbucks every other day or every day, do you think he'd be concerned? Why? Why would he be concerned? Because he gave me permission to use it. He'd be concerned because he doesn't want me to live lavishly, right? He wants me to live in a manner that is, you know, that's affordable and he can afford. And, you know, even if he'd have $1 million to just give away, he'd still be doing that, right? Why? Because he'd want me to live in a way that is just reasonable, right? He wouldn't want me to be lavishing money upon myself. Now, think about this. There's a lot of people today who lavish lots of money upon themselves. Am I right with that? Yeah, am I thinking right? There's lots of people today, you know, they might have money. You know, there's some that don't have money and still lavish it on themselves. And there's some that have money and then still lavish it on themselves. Is that good? Lavishing money on myself is never good. Now, if I start spending money here, I know I'm going to have to give an account to him. I know that. And I can see it by the look on his face, right? I can see it by the look on his face. He's going to watch that credit card statement. And, you know, he has a pretty good eye. I don't know if he knows exactly how many dollars are in here, but I'm sure he has a pretty good idea. And he's going to, you know, and if he would keep that credit card, you know, supplied and all that for the next 6 months, I know he's going to watch over that thing closely. Why? You know, it's not because he doesn't trust me, but he still will. Because he expects me to use my money wisely. Okay? That's how it would be if I would be his steward. Okay? In the same way, we are stewards to God Almighty. We are. We are stewards to God Almighty. Okay. Faithful in that which is least. We just read, and I'll just read it again. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Good question, right? That's a good question. Now, the clock says 5 till, and I have 12 points to cover. So, I'm not sure I'm going to do all that, but we're going to endeavor to move through here fairly quickly. Number one, there are three primary things that God has given us money and belongings for. One is for food, another one is for housing, and another one is to store riches in heaven. And we'll cover that last one later, to store up treasures in heaven. Primarily for food and for housing. Food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, we have, we drive cars and we have lots of other possessions, or a little, more, right? You know, we have other possessions too. But those are the primary things that God is concerned about with in us, and that He's giving us money for. The three primary outlets for God's money and belongings: food, housing, and to store treasures in heaven. Number two, I'd like for us to consider that financial struggles is, having financial struggles is a great recipe to have marriage struggles. Now listen to me. Most of you aren't married, right? If you don't learn to manage money and to spend money discreetly, you're setting yourself up to have lots of marriage problems. Okay? I've seen it. It happens time and time again. Husband comes home with a paycheck, and before the next 2 weeks or before the next week, the money's gone. And not all the bills are paid. And there's food to purchase and all those kind of things. And the wife says, where are we going to get food from? And, you know, the credit card bill sort of keeps crawling and all kinds of things. Let me just tell you, now's the time to learn to spend money wisely. If you don't learn, you're setting yourself up to have marriage struggles in the future. This is for you guys and for you ladies too, right? Both of you. You're setting yourself up. You know, it happens. It happens. You know, the husband, he's out there working hard. He's trying to supply for his family. And in the meanwhile, his wife goes out shopping, and, you know, she goes to the restaurant and she goes shopping for clothes and all kinds of things. She comes home and the money is gone. The husband looks at her and says, where's all the money? And, you know, and you know, she looks at him and says, well, I just saw it go out there. You went on that hunting trip and you spent all that money on that hunting gear and all. And you know the story? Right? Let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, you as a young people are developing habits right now. And one day you will give an account to God Almighty. And there's a lot of people who are developing a lot of wrong habits. Why? Maybe your parents have money. Maybe they don't have money. But because of carelessness and because of all the advertising schemes that are all about us, we walk into the convenience store and it's nothing to drop $5-7 on a soda and a snack, right? It's nothing. It just happens very quickly. And people do that every day. Fast. Money just rolls out the door. Number three. Newlywed lifestyle. Newlywed lifestyle. There is this thing that keeps happening, I'm going to say all the time, that our parents, they started from scratch and they worked hard and they worked long. And by the time they come up to the ages where you all are here today, they have accumulated some possessions. Might have a couple cars and have a nice room full of furniture, and you know, right when they got married, they had this little nook of a house, and time has gone on, they have a little larger house, and all those kind of things. It's grown as time has gone on. There is this thing that many young people want to get married with the same level of lifestyle of where their parents are right now. Let me tell you, it causes tremendous problems and heartaches. My brothers and sisters had this little joke when my wife and I got married. We got married and we moved into this little mobile home, and we had one love seat. We had two bar stools to sit around the counter, or I was at the counter to eat. And, you know, we didn't have a kitchen table. We didn't have a couch. We didn't have, actually, we got a couple pulling chairs at the wedding. And, you know, there's eight of us children, and I was the oldest, and we lived next door. We moved next door to my parents. And when the whole family came over to see us, my brothers used to complain. They had to either sit on the floor or on the pails, right? Okay, now let me just ask you this question. Would you be satisfied with that? Hey, you ladies, you young men, would you be satisfied with that? You know, to start out, you know, in that way, we, and I had this little truck and this little car, and you know, it wasn't one of these nice ones like you see today, right? But guess what happens? You know, young men, they come up through, and they want the nicest car, the nicest truck. And when they get married, we have to have everything decked out, you know, everything lavishly, you know, just like mom and dad's place where they are right now. Let me ask you the question. Is that necessary? But a lot of young people put themselves under tremendous financial strain in their early years, and it causes struggles and all kinds of problems. Because we expect to have a lifestyle very similar to where your parents are at after 20 or 25 years of marriage, or even 35 years of marriage. You try to put yourself in the same position. You are a steward. If you can't do it, if you can't afford it, don't even try to do it. Right? But what happens is we've got money available on credit. The credit cards, the bank, they're happy to give us money. Then we have all these payments stacked up, and it's for the cause of a lot of grief to a lot of people. Let me just tell you this. Don't try that. Don't go there. Live simply. We are called to be stewards of God's money that He gives us. We are stewards. And if we don't use the money that God has given us in a wise way, we are going to be called to give account for the way that we spend our money. We're going to be called upon of God to give an account for those very things. People do a lot of goofy things these days. Go on elaborate honeymoons, right? My wife and I, we're gone a week, and we had a very beautiful time. And we came back, and, you know, a week later at work on Monday morning, worked hard. You know, we were trying to supply, trying to be a blessing. You know, there's people that go on these elaborate honeymoons and spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Is that necessary? Now, what do you think God thinks of all that? I'm not against going on a honeymoon, right? Yeah, all that's good stuff, right? Okay. But spending money doesn't make you happy. It didn't. It doesn't make me happy. I don't think it does for you, too. Spending money doesn't make my wife happy. Well, guess what she wants? She wants some time with me, right? Right? It's not in the money that's spent. And so why do we do it? Come on, young man. Why do we do it? Yeah. We want to look important. We want to keep up with everyone else, right? We hear of others that have, you know, that are doing all these things. And so we think we need to keep up with that. Let me tell you, don't do it. Don't go there. You're going to give an account to God Almighty for the money you spend and the way that you pursue life and the way that you view the possessions and the things that God has entrusted into your hands. There's a lot more that we could say with that, but That was number three. Number four, I have entitled this way, Lifestyle Concerns. Lifestyle Concerns. And this, you know, isn't just for young people. This is for all of us older ones as well. Let me just consider some of these things. Why is it that there is this tendency to live or this desire to live and have a lifestyle, both with the houses we live and just our overall lifestyle, that's higher than what everyone else is? Why is that? Pride. It's idolatry. It's covetousness. And the Bible has some very strong things to say about those sins. Right? It does. But we preachers are scared to talk about that. But the Bible talks about it, right? It really does. Elaborate houses. Why is it that in the Christian church, there are people, and young men, I know you're young yet, but I'm talking to you in another 10 years and 15 years when you'll have more money than you do now, okay? Why is it that once you have money, people tend to build houses that are just very elaborate? We walk into each other's houses and we go, now that is nice. That's neat, right? It's cool. Now, what is that? Okay? Let me just tell you, that's not from God. Now, some 15 years ago, my wife and I, we built a house. And one of the concerns that my wife and I had at that point, we had a desire that the house was built in such a nature, both in structure as well as how it was decorated on the inside, that when people walk into the house, they walk around, look around, it's a new house, and they say, oh, this will be a blessing for you for many years, right? That's what I desired to hear. We heard that. There's many houses that you walk in, and people go, wow, now that's just wow. Okay, all right. Okay. Let me just tell you, when people start doing that, let me just tell you, there tends to be something wrong. Am I right with that? Okay? All right. I'm endeavoring to give us a perspective of God's perspective, right? All right? Now, I realize that we're not living in Africa. We're not living in Haiti. And sometimes we ask the question when it comes to spending money on houses and vehicles and all those kind of things, where are the lines? And I don't know where all those lines are, okay? I don't know where all those lines are. But I would like to suggest that in the culture, in the community that all of us live in, there's sort of a standard lifestyle, right? And then beyond that standard lifestyle, there's a lifestyle that's up here. Okay? That up here lifestyle, I'm going to say, is not from God. Are you with me on that? Okay? There's a lifestyle, and, we have houses, and, we have people over, and there's lots of room to sleep and all kinds of stuff. And if you go to Haiti, my son's own Africa, and we walk into some of the houses over there and in Zanzibar, and it's like, wow. If they would have a house like we do, it would be, they'd be rich. They'd be the wealthiest there, right? Okay. But in our community, ours is just an average house, right? Okay. All right. Keep that in mind. An average house. If we're striving to lavish money, to lavish things on ourselves on this scale up here, I'm going to say that it comes into the line of covetousness and idolatry. You know, there's people, lots of people that buy the extra properties. They spend thousands of dollars on hunting trips. Did you hear that, girls? I don't think they do. But you guys, right? Spend thousands of dollars on hunting trips. Personal pleasure, hobbies, elaborate interior decorations, parties where lots of money that is spent that's not necessary just because it was fun to have the party. Elaborate vacations, elaborate vehicles, vehicles that are sort of in the uppity realm, right? Uppity realm. And, you know, once a BMW has enough miles on, then it's okay to buy one, right? Okay, do you know what I'm saying with that? Okay, am I right that a BMW is sort of an uppity name? Right? Okay, now you name all the others. I won't say the others, right? Okay, but you name the others, okay? But there's this idea that once it's got enough miles on, then it's okay for me to drive one. Consider with me. Okay, God looking down from heaven, and He's given you money. Now, He's given you the ability to make choices. And He's watching you. You know, this young man over here, you know, he'd be watching that credit card. Right? Yeah, he'd be watching every check that's spent, every dollar that goes out. You know, he'd be watching me closely. I like to suggest that in the same way, God is looking at us. And I'm going to suggest that many of us are of the mentality that some of those things are okay to be in the uppity realm. I'm going to suggest that somewhere in there, I don't know where that is. Somewhere in that realm, it comes into the line of covetousness. And the Bible says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We want it because it appeals to our eyes. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of God. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Am I being too bold here? Right? Okay. Now let me just come back to say, you know, I refer to the brother that had a big business, lots of employees, and I'm sure he made lots of money, okay? But as long as he wasn't lavishing that money on himself, he was using it. It was a blessing for the brotherhood. It was a blessing in the community. People were getting help. And all of a sudden, he started lavishing it money on himself. That thing flipped. And there was a big problem there. That happened. Let me just bring us back. We are only stewards of the things that God gives to us. Lifestyle concerns. Well, that's only number 4. But the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims," right? We're strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Abstain from them. These things will take God right out of your heart. Here's another one. Number 5, consumer debt. Let me just make this very quick here. Consumer debt is when we use credit card or loans for things that are consumed. So in other words, buying a property is something that will increase in value. It's not something that's consumed. A car is something that decreases in value and it's consumed. Spending money loaning, getting loans, borrowing money for consumer debt. When we for money for vacation or for vacations, for cars, for things that we consume, getting loans on those types of things is not good. Can I just say it that way? Not good. It's not good. Now let me just flip that around. Doing business, buying vehicles for the business, puts it into a different realm. But personal consumption, all of a sudden, having loans on those types of things is never good. It's better to save up for the cars you drive. Save up for those types of things. People get themselves into big trouble by getting loans for those types of things. Don't do it. And number six, we're living in the age of monthly payments. Monthly payments. We have a retail business, and we sell sheds. And you would be amazed. A very high percentage of the people walking onto the sales lot wanting to buy a shed for $3,000 to $5,000, and they look, what payment do I need to make? And they buy the size shed based on the level of payment that they can make. They buy cars on the level of payment that I can make. Let me tell you, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. We get ourselves, people get themselves into big trouble that way. Don't go that route. I'm not talking about getting a loan for a property. But let me tell you, that type of thinking in the world today, in America today, there is, I think I wrote it down here somewhere, consumer debt, what percent that is, but it's really high. Consumer debt in loans in America today is trillions of dollars, just on consumer debt, not loans for properties. Let me tell you, people are going after what looks good, things they don't have to have, and getting loans for that, and it gets them into deep financial binds. Don't go that route. So here's number seven, just some very practical questions. So is it advisable to build a new house? Is it advisable to purchase a new car? How advisable is it to spend money for hunting and fishing? How advisable is it to have a business that makes a lot of money? Are those good questions, right? So I'm giving you my thoughts here, all right? Is it advisable to build a new house? Well, let's put it this way. When we built the house, we would have actually preferred to just buy one. And somehow those doors in the area where we were looking to pursue, those doors didn't open up, and these did, okay? And it was within our budget of what seemed to be the right thing to do. The Lord opened the doors. And so I'm going to say that building a new house isn't necessarily wrong, but it can be wrong, right? Can be wrong, but doesn't have to be wrong. It all depends where you go with it all. But what about, is it advisable to purchase a new car? If you purchase a new car, the day that it drives off the parking lot, the value decreases by a couple thousand dollars. That's not a wise choice, right? Now, for a business who, you know, if you have a vehicle that runs day after day and it needs to be serviceable and not have downtime, that could be different, okay? But for a personal private vehicle to purchase a new car, that can raise questions. So you ask the question, well, what kind of car or truck should you buy? well, what kind of truck or car do you think God would have you to buy? Right? Isn't that a fair question? What kind of truck or car do you think would belong to someone that's a stranger and a pilgrim? Someone that's being faithful? Something that's serviceable? Something that'll run for a while, but it's not in the uppity crowd, right? All right? Ask God about that. I think if we ask God about those things, I think we'll make decisions in a different way than if we just follow our flesh. How advisable is it to spend money for hunting and fishing? This is for the young men, right? How advisable is that? Well, let's just put it this way. A little bit of recreation can be okay. You know, a little bit of hunting, a little bit of fishing. But let me tell you, boys, it very quickly moves into a place that's not okay. Am I right with that? All right? It doesn't take long. Very quickly, we get into it. All right? So, be sensitive. All right? You know, you don't want your wives to be spending lots of money, but you do, right? I mean, it's okay for you. But not for them. Right? All right. Okay, so you get the picture? Some of those things in a small form for some, can be okay, but it very quickly moves into a place of idolatry, covetousness, very quickly. How advisable is it to have a business that makes lots of money? How advisable? The Bible calls it a snare. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Doesn't say it's wrong, but there are certain temptations that go along with it that are at a pretty high level of risk. Number eight. Want to just touch very briefly for you ladies about the idea of being a career woman. You know, and this shifts, it's right in this whole field. But there is a growing push to at a young age get jobs, make money, do something that's, quote, worthwhile, maybe even some missionary. I like to say that there's, I would encourage for all of us to be missionaries, okay? Some are local missionaries and some are missionaries abroad. But there's a growing push away from the idea of being a keeper at home. Now, I say that carefully. I'm not saying it's wrong to get a job. Right? I'm not saying that. But if you're going to be a mom one day, and if you're going to have 8 children like my wife and I do, 8 children, you have 7 boys and 1 girl. And if you're going to learn how to cook, you're going to learn how to clean, you know, learn how to keep the house, all those things, and you spend all this time out there and you don't focus at home, guess what you're going to be good at when it's time to be mom? At the wrong things, right? I'm not saying that it's wrong to have other jobs, but I like to lift up the idea our heart should be bent toward being a keeper at home. Our heart should be bent in that direction. Your heart should be bent to be an assistant to your husband. There are some ladies that have this vision that I'm going to one day be a missionary. And praise God if the Lord's laid that on your heart. But I'd like to just give you a little warning. Ladies are meant to be a helpmeet to their husbands. There are some ladies that are bent to be a missionary. And I'm going to say that it's bent to be a missionary rather than being a keeper at home. All right? I don't know if you follow the idea. Okay? It ought to be first bent toward being a keeper at home And then if God calls you to the mission field, great. But Scripture is very clear on that. Number nine. Number nine. Riches and possessions very quickly become a snare to us. The Bible gives two, and for you young men, I don't think, you know, the ladies have as much problem with that. But us men, there's something within us that, you know, likes to thrive, right? We like to get ahead. We like to make some money and get ahead, right? And I don't throw all that away. But the Bible says that it's a snare. And it also gives a word picture of that some people drown in money. Some people get caught in a snare, and some people drown. And I like to just use those things to just say, money can be a great snare. Now, when I was young, we went trapping. In our field, down in the field, we had this creek, and we go muskrat trapping. So we'd have these conibears. You know what a conibear is? You know, we had these conibear traps, and what we'd do is we'd take these big waders on, we'd pull them up, and wade through the creek, and we'd look for the holes, and then we'd put, you know, the conibear trap right across the opening, and we'd put a stake in, you know, push it in, and have the trap right in front of the hole. And next time, the muskrat would come swimming out through. Get him. Gone. Got him. The Bible says that's how money is. The love of money can snare us just like that. And it does goofy things. The love of money, it does crazy things. Let me tell you, it does. It also gives a picture, the love of money, of someone that drowns. And I'm going to give you a little story. I have a brother-in-law, his name is Tim. And when he was about your age, he went out to Arkansas and with a group of young people. And they went out on a lake. And out on the lake, they went out on a pontoon. That Saturday afternoon, they went out on a pontoon. And he loves to swim. And there's two young men jumped off the pontoon and they started swimming. They swam around a while. Then they moved back toward the pontoon. And he was getting tired. And he, you know, the other people on the boat, he didn't know very well. They didn't know him very well. They didn't know how well he could swim. Kept coming toward the pontoon. He was getting more tired. And the pontoon was slowly drifting. It's drifting. And he kept moving toward it. And right over, you know, there wasn't a ladder down. He had to grab a hold of it. And he was so tired, he almost couldn't go anymore. Finally, right up to it, and he grasped for it. And he missed it. And he went down. The others didn't see what happened right away. They didn't know how tired he was. Underneath, he came back out. He was away from the boat. When he came up, he hollered. All of a sudden, they realized what was going on. And you know what happens when people get in a frenzy? If you're swimming, almost drowning, there's a tendency to get into a frenzy. And he was getting there. But that day he almost drowned. But he was saved. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith. The love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Did you know that the more things we have, the more of a burden it is? Okay? I've talked to people who have lots of money, okay? And one of them told me this. He said, we went on this little vacation and we just had such a nice time out in that little cabin that I came home and I told my family, I think we ought to get in one of those cabins. And they have money to do it. So they went and they bought a property, had a nice little cabin, and it was intended to be a getaway for the family. Okay? You know, they got away. They had this nice weekend, you know, everything away from everything else. And they came home and they were refreshed. He's like, "Oh, I should have one of those." Well, this is what he said. He said, "What I didn't realize is everything that goes with it." He said, "You know, I didn't realize that if I bought it, now I have to wash the floors and I have to shake off the floor mats and I have to keep the windows clean and I have to fix the stair railing and I have to replace a latch that isn't working anymore in the door. And I have to fix the leaky faucets that are leaking. And then there's concrete, steps that needed to be put onto the cabin, up by the porch. And then I had to restain the outside, for the weather protection. And then there's a light fixture that didn't work anymore, then I had to fix that. And then, the lawn, I had to buy a lawnmower to keep the lawn mowed. And then there's a, there's a toilet that was leaking and it needed to be repaired. And there was a fan, on the ceiling, there's a ceiling fan and it got all dusty. And then I had to crawl up there and, wipe the fan and, and the clock on the wall, it got dusty and I had to dust it off. And there's a water pipe that needed heat tape on it and I needed to put heat tape on it so it doesn't freeze in the winter. And, I had to get a lawn tractor to keep all the weeds out. Do you get the picture? Sometimes we make these foolish decisions when we have money. Possessions bring lots of struggles that we really can be avoided. But I need to stop. I need to stop with that. But consider with me. Consider with me, you and I are stewards. We are stewards. And God is going to call every one of us to give an account one day for every dollar that we spend, for the cars we drive, for the house that we live in, for the money we spend at Starbucks, right? I stopped at Starbucks last night. All right. Okay, but do you follow? God is going to give us, He's going to hold us accountable. He's going to ask us to give an account for the way that we used the possessions, principles of stewardship. May the Lord be with us all.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.